Okay, gentlemen, we're holding today on Echad LaOmer, and it's Daf Ayin Hey and Chulin, Tavshin Samach Dalet, first day of Chol HaMoed of Pesach. Now, the last thing that we learned was that it's possible to have a tumah, what appears to be a living animal, in the case in which it's Ovar Benohar, which if it goes through a river, then this Ben Bechua that was born after the Shechita of the mother, and there was a Ben Tesha, would be Mukshel Kabel Tuma as it goes through the river, and then if it goes into Beit HaKvarot, it would actually be Makabel Tuma. So, Man Tana Avar Ben Ahar Fukshar. Now the last two words in the first line. Who would be the Tana here that says that an animal can become Tameh despite the fact that it's alive? So who would be the one that says Avar ben Ahar Hukshar and Halach LeBeit HaKvarot Nitma? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Specifically, going according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Now, of course, what we could have said, I mean, here we're bringing it to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili because of a brayse, the Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Mitamei Tumat Ochlim, Vitzarich Hechsher. So the Chachamim say, on the basis of a principle that something which is alive cannot be metamei tumat ochlim, despite the fact that it is ochlim, apparently. In other words, there is always an option here. What we could have said is that the machloket over here would be dependent on the machloket in our Mishnah as to whether it's considered to be food. According to Rabbi Meir, once the fetus is viable, then the Shkita Sa'im is not matir in Bachim. So if you hold according to Chachamim, who say it's considered to be kibasar b'dikula, it's considered to be like meat inside of a pot. Because they say Shkitat imo mita'aratov. Then we could, the simplest solution would have been, okay, there's a machloket as to whether Shkitat Sa'im is mita'aret, in which case it's meat, or if Shkitat Sa'im doesn't work on a viable fetus. In which case it's an animal, a regular live animal, and would not be makabel tumah. However, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't take the easy way out over here, because it seems rather clear that even the Rabbonim that are arguing in Rabbi Yossi HaGlili in terms of whether or not it is makabel tumah are only disagreeing because mipnei shehu chai, not because it's not food. They're agreeing that it's food, but it's a living food. So that the status of a functional organism, if it's not human, itself is docha tumah. Something that's alive cannot be makabel tumah, even though it has a din of ochle. And it seems from the very language of the Chachamim, he's pressed into doing this, rather than to learn that Rav Yossi HaGlili is a machlokes with the Chachamim, with the same machlokes as in our mission. Otherwise, why would they have to say mipnei shehu chai? All they would have to say is a shein ochle. The Azda Rabbi Yochanan Latami. Now this is Rabbi Yochanan Lashitato, who understands that the meaning of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and as we'll see, other shitas that are similar, that they apparently are arguing about the question of whether it's considered to be alive in Doka Tuma, not about whether it's foodstuff. Because Rabbi Yochanan over here compares the shita of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili to the shita of Beit Shammai when it comes to fish. The question is, can a living fish be considered to be makabel tumah once it becomes food, having been taken out of the yam?
Still alive.
So clearly, if he compares the shita of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili to Beit Shammai, who says that fish can be makabel tumah even when they're fully alive, then that means he understands that that's the issue over here. Not as to whether it's considered to be food, but whether life itself is docha tumah. So this element is Rabbi Yochanan Lashitato. This refusal of Rabbi Yochanan to view the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and the Chachamim in terms of our Mishnah, the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Rabbonim, is basically his approach all along, because Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is saying the same thing at Beit Shammai. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili as quoted above, or the Amara, and Beit Shammai in the Mishnah in Uketzin, that talks about Dagim, Me'imatay Mekablim Tum'ah. At what point does a fish be Mekabel Tum'ah as food? Beit Shammai Omrim Mishi Yitzodu. From the point that they are lifted out of the sea, or they're caught even in a net. At that point, it's Ba'asifah, as we learned from the Pasuk, called Ge'ayam Ye'aseif Lehem. At that moment, it's now food. On the other hand, says they have to actually no longer be alive. So this itself is the same achlokas as Rabbi Yosef Gmili, and the Chachamim points out Rabbi Yochanan, which means that he completely excludes the issue of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim from the discussion over here. Obviously, Aliba the Rabbi Meir that the Shkita Saim is not Matayr. We don't even enter into the question over here of whether it's not food at all. The question is only Aliba the Rabbanan. There's no reason to believe that the Rabbanan here would argue on those Rabbanan. They're simply saying a different issue, and that is that life is dochatuna. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Now Rabbi Akiva says, actually it's neither. It's at the point that they're no longer viable. So even if they are expressing vestiges of life, nonetheless, they're considered to be food. My benayah, the difference between the shita of Rabbi Akiva here and the other shitas would be on Rabbi Yochanan dog mikartea ikabinayah. According to Rabbi Akiva, once the dog is now mikartea, mikartea is that last flipping and so on that it does before it expires, and the shear, we know from Shabbos, the shear is where the area between the gills has gotten dried out, the shear of a sella, in which case it's no longer capable of transferring oxygen, of gases transferred. So because of that, it's basically doomed. And in that sense, it's no longer living, Tainas Rabbi Akiva. So in other words, we have three shittos. Whether the fact that it's a food itself is enough to be makabel tuma, whether it can no longer be viable, Aliba the Rabbi Akiva, because it's viability that's docha tuma, or, according to Beit Hillel, as long as it's still a functioning organism, even though it's about to expire, it still is docha tuma. Boy, Rav Yisna, according to Rabbi Akiva, who views the issue as being viability rather than actual life, Noldu b'dagim simanei trefamahu. What would be the din if a fish is a trefa? Now, there's really no such thing as a trefa of a fish. However, we could still have the symptoms of a trefa. We know that a trefa in a mammal has in it the quality, at least according to Waman Diomar, of Eochaya. It's not going to survive. Now, that means it's not going to survive 12 months. It's not considered to be no longer viable. And even according to the Man Diomar, who holds that trefa is chaya in a mammal, there's a big difference. I mean, a fish is a lot easier to kill off than a mammal. So, in general, we view organisms that are less up on the evolutionary ladder as being less high. Right. And we make this distinction. Tosafos actually makes this distinction even Lagabe, whether the various simanei trefas in terms of a human would necessarily mean they're trefa eino chai. And he says the fact that in a mammal other than a human it wouldn't be chai is not the same as saying that in a human it won't be chai. And the more complex the organism, we assume the more mechanisms there are for coping with problems. Thus, we found the Gemara made this distinction earlier in terms of the evolutionary development between fish and mammals and birds. So the bird we view as somewhere between fish and mammals, because if we still see the simen on the feet of a bird, that points out the Gemara, which is very fascinating, that it still has scales on the feet. So we view it as somewhere between a bird and a mammal, a fish and a mammal, and therefore it has less chiyut, so one simen would be sufficient for shrita. A mammal requires two simenim for shrita. Okay, so the same thing might be true about trefot as well. So
the order that it falls in under is regard to Briyat Olam.
No, it's not. The Briyat Olam is not meant to be a scientific description. It's meant to be a definition of cause and effect on the level of will, vision. It has nothing to do with the way it works out in geologic time, obviously. Otherwise, it's an absolute joke. How in the world do you have a planet that's covered with chlorophyll before there's a visible sun? It's nonsensical.
So, one starts from the animal, it does go from simple to complex.
To some extent, but there's the Taninim problem, the Leviathan problem. It doesn't really follow. I don't think all of the attempts at that, doing that kind of thing are just a little silly. It's not what we're trying to do, you know. Yeah, okay, but in any event, so over here, we could even ask, according to the Man Diomar who holds trefa is chaya, because we could say like this, Tiboy le Man Diomar trefa chaya, and Tiboy le Man Diomar trefa ina chaya. I mean, obviously, according to the Man Diomar, who holds that a trefa is higher, we could distinguish between a mammal, which a behemoth and a fisha fiyuta. An animal mammal has more of an ability to cope with tarfut, but a dagim de lo nefisha fiyuta doesn't have much vitality in it. Look, perhaps over there it cannot survive a tarfut. So in other words, let's say we discovered that it had a hole in its intestines or something. Even according to the Mandi Omar, who holds that a trefa is a death sentence on a mammal, maybe hani mili b'beima de yesh b'mina shrita, avol dagim de in b'mina shrita. It could simply be that dagim have no concept of tarfut at all, and therefore we view the entire organism as being a completely different way of functioning. It doesn't have simon of deshek. It doesn't work in the same way. Who's to say? The same way that we wouldn't compare a cut in one organ with a missing organ. For instance, Ekta Gemara says you have a hole in a spleen that can be fatal and you can have a removal of a spleen, which is perfectly okay. You know, so in a dog, it would be a little bit naive to compare the physiology of the dog, or the etiology of disease in a dog, to a mammal at all. So who's to say that trephus has any bearing on a dog? Take that question stands. Hitilad neifa. Now suppose an animal miscarries. Until now we've been talking about the idea of a shita of the mother being metaher, what is inside the animal, even if it's dead, surprisingly, right? And we even had the machlokas about what's the status of the fats of such an animal, possibly even the dam of such an animal, the gidanosh of such an animal. Once something is in the mother, and the mother was shechted, it may be kosher to eat. But how about if it's born, it's delivered as a nefa, so it doesn't have its own vitality? Now the question is, we saw earlier that a non-independent blood, in other words, a ben shmona was the code word for not to term, and a large animal is a 9-month term. So not to term vlad is considered not to have simonim. There's no way to shecht it. Well, what, does it have chelev? I mean, what about all this dinim? So if it's itila nefa, the question is, what is the status of its chelev, of that fetus? Obviously, you can't eat the fetus. I mean, it's certainly not kosher. It wasn't shechted at the very least. I mean, the vela. The question is, are you going to be chayv karetz for eating the chelev? So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, the chelev is like any other chelev. And it's like the chelev of behema, and therefore you're chayv karetz. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, no, the chelev is really the same as the chelev chaya. I mean, in this case, of course, it would be the same as a dead chaya, but it's not chayv karetz. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, I mean, the reason I say chelev behema, I believe that we saw before that there's a point at which an animal becomes asur if there wasn't shechita of its mother. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, that point is where it's full term. Even if it wasn't born, shechita of the mother won't help if it's full term. Came from Daf Yomi. Well, you can join us for Daf Yomi too. Give it to me back. although of course you could use the time to good effect by going downstairs and getting a coffee. Suppose I'm downstairs and they'd even make one for me.
I understand. How does it feel like it?
Just regular cafe. But only if you're going to drink too.
Anyone else?
So certainly, if you have a full term, according to Rabbi Meir, it's Shita's aim won't be matirit. Although if it's dead, it's still part of the aim. So the question is, what exactly is the point at which this thing becomes an independent animal? I say, says Rabbi Yochanan, aviragor. There's a moment it's outside of its mother. It's no longer viewed as kol ba'behima, which we learned out from the pasuk. Not something in an animal. It is an animal. I mean, an unviable animal, perhaps. A dead animal, perhaps. But it's an animal, so it's a behema. Therefore, the moment it's delivered, it is usher. And it's like any other behema. Chalev is like any other chalev of behema. Reb Shimon ben Lakish says, no. The chalev doesn't become the chalev of a behema, a viable behema, until it is mature. It has to be chadashim garmi. We also need the question of how old it is. So you need both. Chadashim, you can use riches. Dear President, which he seems to have forgotten his Gemara. Well, say it nicely. Actually, someone just went to bring drinks. Yeah. Well, thank you for the offer. It's a bad day. for need of drinks, anyway. It's a good day in any other way. So, therefore, what we're saying is, that is, in terms of the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir before, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, look, when Rabbi Yehuda is matir before the chelev, remembering that machlokas, the chelev of a ben tisha, that's alive, that seems to be the case over here, but that's only because we shefted the mother. Once we have a shechitas ha'em, we don't view this as a viable separate animal, according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's only according to Rabbi Meir. But in this case, where there was no shechitas ha'em, the moment that it comes out, I hold, says Rabbi Yochanan, even I leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, it's now called an independent organism. And being an independent organism, it has the same chelev as any other organism does. Whereas Reish Lakish says, and I say just the opposite, I say that in order for something to be considered an independent organism, you would need for it to actually have gotten out of its mother. Because I mean, once it's out of its mother, then already we can assert but you also need that it should be able to survive outside of its mother. If you don't have that, then you can't say that it has the same dinim as a normal animal. Now, ikedi amri, there's another lashon that has it differently. That kalecha de lo kol lo kadosh of lakum, no one would have argued. Note that we didn't define over here what age the nefa was. We took for granted that it requires kol kadosh, but according to the second lashon, if it is a full-term fetus, and it was delivered, is where we're talking about. If it's less than that, it certainly is not an independent organism. You must at least have the chelev. In order to have chelev, you must at least have independence. While Raya, if it was born before term, it doesn't have simonim. So if it doesn't have simonim, why does it have chelev? Here the question is, you actually performed an operation in utero on this animal, removed its chelev, without doing a shechita on the mother, while the mother was alive. And here is the question, if you eat the chelev of a ben tesha chai, now obviously if it was delivered, it's like any other animal in the world, every animal is delivered as a ben tesha chai. I mean, that's it. Here the question is, it wasn't delivered. I removed its chelev while it was still part of its mother. So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, chelbo kechelev behema, it's a regular animal. I mean, it's a chadashim garmi. As long as it's capable of surviving, so in this case, once it's kolu chadashav, once it's tisha, it's already going to be asur, except for one thing, and that is, if you hold, not like Rabbi Meir, you have this magical ability to shech the mother and be matir it. Fine, but that doesn't change the fact that it's an independent organism. In fact, as we saw yesterday, as we'll see again later today, it may be the type of organism that has options as to how to be matir it. You can be matir it by shechting it. You can be matir it by shechting its mother. That's a separate issue. But nowhere would we have suggested, even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Shemitah's aim helps. Nowhere would we have suggested, says Rabbi Yochanan, that the chelev is different than other chelev. It's a regular animal. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no. Its chelev, in this case, is still the same as the chelev of a chaya, chadashim ve'avira garmi. You need to have not only full term, but also birth. And in this case, if you put your hand into the animal, you never had birth, and therefore you don't have Chelev. So this, in a sense, is the mirror image of the first Lashon, where you had birth in the sense of delivery, but perhaps it didn't have Chadasha. Now, Eisei Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rav Yochanan asks Rish Lakish in a very interesting braisa that points out in the Sifra that by Shalomim, it mentions again, et kol ha-chelev asher al ha-kerev. And that kol ha-chelev asher al ha-kerev, the truth is, could have been learned out from the din of Asham. Because by an Asham, in a sense, we have an advantage over Shalomim. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So, what is the advantage? Every Asham is a keves, zachar. A keves has an aliyah. And an aliyah means that there's more chelev in an Asham than perhaps in a Shalomi. Now, you could bring a Shalomi from an Asham, and from a keves. And if you do, then of course you would also have to bring the fat tail, the aliyah, in which case it's also to eat the aliyah, because anything that goes on the Mizbeah is also to eat. Fine, but you would bring it now, the chelev, in other words. So if the aliyah is brought on the Mizbeah, so for sure the chelev is brought on the Mizbeah. In other words, why is it that it's necessary to say about a shlomim, if you need the chelev and the shteyak layot, you'd have over here by the shlomim, the kochikin by an asham, where the whole thing requires an aliyah, for sure you should need the chelev and shteyak layot. Why then does it repeat chelev and shteyak layot from the Asham? What does it teach us about the chelev shteyakot of the shlamim? I'll tell you, says the Braisa. It tells you the one thing you wouldn't have known by the shlamim, because a shlamim can be a female. But an Asham can't be a female, and therefore, by definition, it could never include the chelev of a shlil, because there will never be a fetus inside of an Asham, because it's only a male. That tells us what the status would be of a fetus in a shlomi, where you can have such a fetus. And it's coming to tell me that just like the chelam shteyak luyot, ha'amurot ba'asham, motzei miklal shlil, obviously does not include the chelam of the shlil, because there isn't any, af kol mutza miklal shlil. So, too, when the Torah is coming to tell me what to put up on the mizbeach, it is telling me to put up only the chelev of the mother, not the chelev of a shlil that's found in the mother. And that's what I derive from it. Now, I say, says Rabbi Yochanan, Lididi, Sabishlam and Lididi, according to my approach, which is that the chelev of a shlil is normal chelev. That would explain why I need a pasuk to tell me not to put it on the mizbeach, and only the mother's chelev goes on the mizbeach. But according to you, Reish Lakish, you say it's not a behemoth. So why the heck would I think to put the chelev onto the mizbeach? I mean, it's absurd. It's obvious that Torah is viewing it as chelev, which is telling us which chelev goes up on the mizbeach. Or Marlay said, Reish Lakish, excuse me? Taima didi nami mehacha. Where do you think I know it from? I know it from here. In other words, the fact that the Torah said, don't put the chelev of the shlil on the mizbeach is my proof. If it hadn't said it here, I would have made the mistake of thinking like you. Thank God the Torah pointed out that you're wrong. You put that in your pipe and smoke it. In fact, Ikari Amri, others say that that was the question was originally asked by Reish Lakish in that direction. Now Reish Lakish asked the question, not Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, so Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, the Ikari Amri. It says in the Brayso of the Sifra, Machel of Shtei Kloyot Amorot Ba'asham Motzei Mechlal Shlil, just like by an Asham, it excludes the Chelev of a Shlil, which doesn't exist. Of course, so too, all of the Chelev and Kloyot, even of the Chelev of Shtei Kloyot, and so on, all of it, of the Asham, of the Shlamim, as well as Motzei Mechlal Shlil, and if a Shlamim is pregnant, you don't put up the Chelev of the Shlil on the Mizbeach. That's what it says in the Braisa. Now, I say, says Reish Lakish, Mishlem the Didi, according to the way I understand it, Mishlemachi Miyata Rachmana, the reason that the Torah excludes it is precisely because it's indicating to you that it's not called Chelev. No, I don't understand. According to you, is there no implication to be drawn from the fact that the Torah says don't put it up on the Mizbeach? I mean, any idiot can draw the obvious implication. If the Torah says don't put it up, it's because it doesn't view it as Chelev. Otherwise, Chelev should be put up on the Mizbeach. So I don't understand how you don't draw that implication. Why is, how do you explain the fact that it's not put up on the Mizbeach? Marley says, I don't understand. There's plenty of examples of such things. I mean, you have a behemoth that's a Mechusar's month. It's not yet 7 days old, right? So it's Neil Mishmini Vahalo. So, you're going to say, oh, you shafted it. Why don't you put it up on this bear? Because the Torah doesn't like young animals on this bear, okay? Why is this any different? I mean, it means it's not chalef. It means that it's not yet ready to be put on this bear. What's the question? It's no different than an animal that was indeed born and is Amachusar's man. Certainly you're not going to say Amachusar's man if you eat the chalev that you're butter. Amachusar's man is like any other animal in the world. But chalev cannot be put on the Mizbeah, so it's obviously not a one-to-one correlation all the time. Umatzaba ben teisha chai. Suppose you shecht a mother that is true. And now, in that mother, you find a living, full-term fetus. And we know that the status of a living, full-term fetus is the subject of the machlokes between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. Is it kosher because of the Shvita Ta'en or not? That is the machlokes. Well, I want you to know that Lidivrei Ha'oser Matir, according to Rebbe Meir, who says that a ben tishachai, in an animal that's kosher, cannot be eaten until you shecht it, then in this case, you could shecht it and then be matir it, because the fact that its mother was treif doesn't affect it. It's, according to Rebbe Meir, it's an independent organism and it requires its own shkita anyway. But Lidivrei Ha'oser, Lidivrei Ha'matir rather, but according to Rebbe Yehuda, who says that if the mother was kosher, you can eat this animal without shechting it, then according to him, you're dead, because over here, the shechit of the mother will not be matirid, because the shechit of the mother is the shechit of a treifa. And a shechit of a treifa. Now, this is a fascinating piece of the puzzle that we've been talking about all along. How does the shechita of the mother help for the child? Remember that we've seen that there's elements of the shechita of the mother that clearly do not work because of the shechita. I mean, if an animal is dead, the fetus is dead, it's absurd to say that it's as if it's a shechted animal when it's dead. There's no such thing as the shechita of a dead animal. Correct? Nonetheless, here, we're saying. Nonetheless, you can eat it. Right? Even according to Rabbi Meir, even if it was full term, you could eat it. Because it's no longer viable. Separately. Okay? So, Lechora, you see from here that the Shechita of the mother isn't matir it. Because it's viewed as an extension of the mother, and therefore it's treifa. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Sharei huke echad me'evareha." As if we're coming now to be matur, we're being matured as part of the mother, but the mother is treif. So how can we ever be matured again? Well, what that implies is that the shechita is what's being matured. Right. In other words, there's a problem over here. In that it's not just magic that what was nishchat is mutter, just like if it's dead, what was nishchat is mutter, and therefore we would say, look, if the mother was dead, it wouldn't help the shechita, so why would the shechita help for the fetus? We don't say such a thing. Yet when it comes to this, we say, well, sorry, if the mother's a treifa, then this is also going to be a treifa. Why would that be true? Lechora, it's no different than on some of the other crazy things we've been saying. We say you can eat the chalef. You can eat the chalef. Maybe you can eat it even though the mother was a treifa. You can't eat the mother's chalef. You can eat the shnil's chalef. So you can't eat the mother, you'd be able to eat this. Lachora, what this proves is that the Shvita is the thing, as an act of Shvita, that would be Matir on it. So this became the whole discussion between the Shitas who hold that the Ben Bekua is Hutar because of the act of Shvita, or whether it's Hutar, we've mentioned this many times, whether it's Hutar because of an Ugzeres Akosa of Kol Ba'Behema, as long as the mother Behema was shechted, which in this case the mother Behema was shechted. Right, there's a famous Reb Chaim about this, which he tines that the Shechita of a Treifa, and this, we've met this issue before, the Shechita of a Treifa is a different type of Shechita. So, Eino Chinami, had this been a Shechita that's Matir Bachila, it would have been Matir, the kid, even if the mother was a Treifa. The problem is that the mother, which is a Treifa, because the issue over here is, even if the kid is a Treifa, wouldn't the Shechita of the mother help for it?
If the mother was
not a treifa,
it should.
It's certainly better than if it's dead. So if the vlad is a treifa, how could it be worse? How could it be worse than being dead? So I should be able to eat it. Right. So what's the problem over here? What's the issue? Why can't I eat it? Unless you taina that the way we're being matured is dafk as part of the mother. As kol ba'behima, but not because the shvit itself would work, because the shvit itself would work, it should work. Tainas replying, no. Because the shvita of a treifa is a different type of shvita than the shvita of an untreifa.
Even if the treifa is the uva.
No. If the treifa is an uva, that was their raya, that we're not shechting the uva.
Okay.
And then it's a new heter, because we're obviously not shechting a dead animal. It's a gzeres hakosav called kol ba'behima tochev.
Okay.
Right? But Reb Chaim says you can't bring a riot to that from here. Because the only time that we know there's a din of kol ba'behima tochev is when you shechted the mother. But over here you didn't shech the mother. That's the problem. Not because of what Rashi says, that it's kechem me'evrei ha'em. So what if it's kechem me'evrei ha'em? We saw before, we had this in a number of places, we had it in a case where somebody caused a tarfus on an animal between the first simon and the second simon. Or we had it where an uber stuck out a limb from the uterus in the middle of the shechita of the mother. Question is, can the first simon be mitzarif to the second simon? Thing is, there are two types of shechita. Tainas Reb Chaim, what do you mean there are two types of shechita? Obviously, that's telling us that it's a different act of shechita. When you do on a treifa, so the mother is a treifa. It's not that we're saying the vlad isn't kosher because the shechita of a treifa is not matur. The shechita has to apply to it. It's because the Torah never said the din on the shechita of a treifa because it's not a shechita that's matur. It's a different type of shechita. That's the problem. So therefore, le divrei hamatir would be yosur. If you hold that you're matur this animal to the shechita of the mother, how can you ever be matur it? Now, again, you can't do anything with it because it's already shechted. The fact that it happens to be walking around and running friskily in the flock doesn't change anything because it's already dead. Rava says, no, it's not. It's alive. And even the divrei hamatir lami mutar, even though this animal was shechted through its mother, it's still able to be shechted on its own, which is extraordinary. The Torah was matir four separate simanim on this animal. Before we saw this as a potential where you inserted your hand in the uterus and you did not check the mother and you checked the child, so if you hold arba simanim, you have the option of which simanim to use. But we never went so far as to say if it was already shechted, you can redo the shechita and make it a kosher shechita because the child is not a treifa. You can redo the shvita with its own simonim. That's wild. In other words, this animal is a treifa shvita. Okay, but it's a treifa shvita that's still got two simonim. So why not do shvita again? To be makshir. Incredible. So Taina's Rava, the four simonim is more than just an option. The four simonim is an option even where you already cut two of them. Right? So here is a case where you could do shchita twice, a kosher shchita twice on the same animal, one which is metayer midei nezayon, and then you do shchita again to be matrit ba'achila. Astounding! You never know what surprise you're going to have in a daf, right? This completely changes our whole approach, because until now we viewed the ben bekula as being shechted. How can a shechted animal be shechted again? And Rav Chisda also got involved in this, because he said, "Hashoketa tatrifo matzah ba ben teshachai." If you find in it a ben teshachai, it's stone shchita. You have to shecht it in order to be able to eat it. V'chayev bizroa v'lechayayim v'kiva. And when you do shecht it, it's called part of the pasuk mi'et zovche hazevach, and you have to give the kohen bizroa v'lechayayim v'kiva. But if it dies, it will not be matami as an avela. Because if it dies, then it has access to its original shechita, which was the shechita of the mother. So it's a tray for shuk. The tray for shuk is not matami ben avela. So it can't die, because it's already dead. You can still shecht it. Omelay Rava. So now, Rava, actually, it can't be Rava, because Rava basically said the same thing in Oman Olive. It's got to be Rava, you see. So Omelay Rava, hold on a second, baby. What's going on over here? Make up your mind. If you're telling me tone shechita, don't you have to shechta, and then you can eat it. Obviously, you're going according to Rabbi Meir, who says that the shechita of the mother does not help for the vlad, and that's why you can now shechta. But then you turn around and you say, but if you didn't shechta and it died, it's Torah milatami b'masa, it's not an avela. Now, come on, man. That's going according to the Rabbanan, who say that the shechita of the mother does help for the vlad. How can you have it both ways? Says Rav Chisda to him, ha ha, v'latayne. Oh, you think that's a problem? How do you understand the price, huh? Tani Rebbe here. Hashochet et hatrifa. Umatzaba ben teshachai. If you go ahead and you shecht a trefa and find in it a living, viable, non-trefa fetus. Ta'un shita. V'chayav v'zrola chayim v'keva. V'imet tohar milatamei v'masa. Why don't you ask that in the price? All I said was the same thing that Rebbe quoted the price as saying. I mean, you can ask on that. Same question. Don't shvita, you'll say. Come on. Well, who says you could check the Rabbi Meir? So then how could you say he made the army the Taneva Masa? That's going according to Rabbanan. Huh, Rabba? Says Rabba, excuse me? Yeah, I know that price. That price is not a problem. Holo Kasha. Rabbi Zia was talking about a case where it was two different cases. Imate doesn't mean if subsequently it dies, silly. Imate means and if it was not a live fetus when you found it, but it was dead. In which case everybody is motivated that the shechita of the aim helps for it. So then fine, then you were the shechita of the aim. It was matirit, even though the aim was a trefa. So what's the I got no problem with that, Bryson. But you are mixed up because you're saying both sheets at the same time. You said if subsequently it dies. Now what is that supposed to mean? Although Kashi, Rabbi Chia says he made it means in kvar matzomet kamra. If it had been dead before, and what does he do? Kashi, going to it share. Amarle, ledidinami lo kasha. Chef, I'm in the middle of shir. To make up for missed matter? More than that? What's the difference? Why would it be amazing? I don't see why it's amazing. I don't see why not. Yes! Well, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, therefore, I'm suggesting that it's not a problem even if it died subsequently. Yes, what do you mean? But you already shechted it. Arba simanim achshav erachman. The Torah was not here. Four separate simanim. You shechted it with its mother's two simanim. It is tohar min atami ben avela. If subsequently you shechted with its own simonim, it is now kosher to eat. You're not so off, because I'm going to talk in a moment about a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos over here, which has to do with that question. Kisolik Rebbe Zera, Ashkechel Revas, Yotz Bekarmel Al Ashmaitzah. When Rebbe Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he found, Ravasi found Rebbe Zera saying this over, and he said to him, Yasher, this Chiddush that you're saying, I want you to know, Yasher Koach, it's true. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan Taina, the same thing, that there's four simonim on an animal. Well, wait. When you say Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing, are you implying that Reish Lakish argued? Well, actually, I don't know. Some say, Misha Habishai, as we've seen this before, Misha Habishai Le Vishasikle, V'yikadam Mishta Habishasi Vishasikle. We know that Rabbi Yochanan would often be Doresh, Reish Lakish was there. Reish Lakish spent all his time in the Beis Medrash, which allowed him to drink in the Beis Medrash. That's why we call it Beirabonan, say, because they lived there. Therefore, there's no pagam in the eating and drinking, even in a mokum that has kedusha, the Beit Knesset, and so on. It's also the basis of why we're allowed to drink the coffee over here, although not everybody agrees. But here, generally, we make everything here out tonight. Yeah. But in any event, not community, bubble, or it's well, it's not so partial. But fine. So the other meaning that he had was not to cut out Rabbi Yochanan in the middle of a statement. As Rabbi Yochanan would say something that Reish Lakish vehemently disagreed with, he would give him time to come to his own senses, not to embarrass him. If you're saying something that's stupid, maybe we'll give you 10 minutes. Now, the thing is that Ravasi walked out before he saw Reish Lakish's reaction. And we're not sure. Some say he walked out before the requisite time that Reish Lakish would offer him. And some say he walked out because Reish Lakish was in the middle of drinking his coffee and he wasn't going to interrupt. And he didn't know, because Reish Lakish would never sputter and spit out his coffee. So he wasn't sure whether Reish Lakish argued. That's why he said, Rabbi Yochanan had said it. He didn't say that Reish Lakish was falling out because he's not so. He's not sure. So you could have Misha Abishai, we've seen this a few times before. We can have Mishta Abishai. Others say he was drinking, and therefore he didn't say anything. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer. Now, the next piece of our Mishnah says that Rabbi Shimon Shazuri saw this as a total non sequitur. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri comes up in the middle of the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanit, who we now know as Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, well, what's the big deal? Even if it's 5 years old, and it's working busily, being choresh in the sada, it's kosher to eat it because it shechted its mother. Now, what exactly is Rav Shimon Shazuri adding that the Tanakhama didn't say? The Tanakhama said it's kosher even though it's a full-term fetus. It's now walking around. So Rav Shimon Shazuri says, even if it's 5 years old, I need somebody to tell me that. There's a difference if it's 5 years old or 1 year old. So I understand.
Wasn't the next day after
the Shita
the mother
being? It's the same idea. That's what we're asking. So what are you adding? Amrav Kana, obviously, Reb Shimon Shazuri is implying that there's a very important machlokas over here. Machlokas being, he frees agave karaka. He can be an Tana Karma. Only said, if you find the fetus inside of the mother, then you can eat it. But once you let that fetus start walking around, it is now easily confused with a regular animal. People don't know that its mother was shechted, and they watch you walk over to it, scoop off a piece and put it on the barbecue. Wait a minute. Yeah, exactly. So, in order to avoid misunderstandings, the Tanakhama only allowed you to eat it before it began to walk around on its own. Whereas Rav Shimon Shazuri says, nah, what do you mean if you found it in the animal? Then you found it 5 years later, be any difference? In fact, we have a special, it's called the Shazuri Mahadran, of animals that don't need Shlita, because both father and mother were Ben Bekuas, and you now have the 314th generation of cow that does not require shlita, because both parents were pieces of meat that reproduced. How do you like that? And there'd be no need for shlita. Fantastic idea. So the Rabbana don't like that idea. According to them, that's as bad as Zabu meat.
That's the CIA.
Hello, Dolly.
Come, we're almost finished. It's a very interesting sugi anyway.
We have to make big money here.
Come up with a brilliant plan.
Kashrus.
To make herds of animals that don't require shlita. As we take a ben bekua, a male ben bekua, and a female ben bekua, and mate them, even though they're meat, but they can mate. So then we get children that don't require shlita because they're also meat. And we avoid all the problems of shlita and everything else. And we can have kosher fresh meat because you don't need shlita, you don't need freezing. You can buy a live animal and keep it alive instead of in the freezer.
And
you just cut off what you want.
Well,
we had that question yesterday. That's already a machlokes. Actually, it even really before. Shabbos when you'd be high, of course, if you didn't do it.
And suddenly there's no
Basra
Shokala,
there's
no
Basra Shokala. Or Basra it is. Basra. Yeah. Why not? But the Chela is butter.
So we can have the fancy steak there.
To have the
tour.
That's right. It's a great idea. So the problem is that the Rabbanan didn't like this idea. They argue under Shimon Shizuri. They say, once an animal was walking already, it stood up on its own, it's also because of Exer that people were confused with Abram Nachar. Omre Misharshe, the Misharshe of the Tainan, the Divrei HaOmer, Choshishim Lezera HaAv, we'll see, and we'll see later on, there's a Shiloh about, and the Torah says, Oto Ve'et Beno, says it in Lashon Zachar, right? Oto Ve'et Beno. Exactly. Is Oto Ve'et Beno the father or the mother? In other words, the question is, does an animal have a father? In terms of halacha. Is the halacha interested in the male, or is it only interested in what we trace? Female gives birth to female, and we view the male's part in the action as sort of the catalyst to get the female pregnant. Because if it has a father, then when the Torah asks Oto Ve'et Beno, it will be even shechting the father and its child. So if you hold that an animal has a father, just Choshen Lezerah, in other words, the halakha takes into consideration the father's part in reproduction. So then a ben beku'a, abba al behemama al yata, avlad ein lo takana. In the case where a ben beku'a, which is basically walking meat, mates with a female that is not a bat bekua, so then there's no way to be matir the child. Now this is interesting. Why is there no way to matir the child? So Rashi, and here's where I told you we talk about your question. Rashi says the reason there's no way to be matir the child is because basically we view half of the animals coming from the father, half of the animals coming from the mother. From the father's side, there's no simonim, because meat doesn't have simonim. That just looks like a kanan of hesha, but it's actually just part of the meat. From the mother's side, it does have simonim. So we compromise him, saying it's one simon. But one simon, you can't be matir. Now, if you're going to say, okay, why don't we simply check the second simon now and rely on the first simon from before, which was your question. Says Rashi, well, that's a shehiya. It's 3 years later. So he says, boy, that's one heck of a shahia. Dos just goes wild about this. He says, what are you talking about? This? What do you mean it doesn't have one simon? It's got half simonim that are not, they're not quite simonim. So this is up to a shahia. How in the world? Well, I mean, it's just, I don't understand what Rashi is talking about. It's like fantasy. It's got one simon, it would be mitzaref. And the mother said, but you see that you weren't so off. Rashi, in fact, says that's the problem. Okay, but in any event, there's certainly nothing to do about it. Because certainly doesn't have kosher simanim. Says it by the way, I want you to know that if you have a kalut who's a bed mikuyah, you have a mutation. Mutation has a club foot. And we said a club foot is mutter, even though it doesn't have mafreset parsa. But it's a species, it's mafreset parsa, where shek the mother. So that mutation is kosher to eat. There, everybody agrees that you can eat it even though it's 5 years old. And you don't have to shaft it. You know why? Because we call milta the tmiya mitkat chirla inushi. People remember unusual things. And the same way that they see this thing as a mutation, they're going to say, oh man, this is a whole wild story. They found this inside of a mother that they had checked in it. So they'll remember the whole story. Since they remember the whole story, even the Rabbanan made it in that case, that there's not a problem. Because there's no question that they won't make that mistake of thinking it was being eaten as an Abram and Achai and so on. Ikidi Amre, Amar Abaye. Others say that what Abaye says is Hakol Modim Bekolut Ben Kluta Ben Bekua Shemutar. My time a tray to me, Midka Dekhira Ninja. If you got coincidental building upon building crazy things, so you have over here now a Kolut that comes from a Kluta that then was a Ben Bekua. So then we know that it's wow, this is really weird. It was like a Lamarckian kind of thing, maybe. Yeah, really. I mean, it's obviously a genetic defect in the parent. So the mother was shechted as a, itself. It was a kolot, and now it gave birth to it. We found it didn't give birth. We found a kolot inside of it. It's already, that's wild. That people remember, but they might not remember that only one thing. There was a mutation that was a kolot. So if that kluta, in other words, the mother itself, was a ben bekua, and it's now a second generation kolot ben bekua, that they'll remember. Two generations of craziness they'll remember. Now, there was a case where Adabar Chabo had a ben bekua, and he basically held like Rav Shimon Chazuri, and no problem. And what happened is that this poor little ben bekua was attacked by a ze'ev, by a wolf. Now that would make it a treifa. However, since it's already shechted, it can't really be a treifa.
Treif piece of meat.
No, can't make a treifa once something is a piece of meat. It can only be when it's nitshchida you can make it a treifa. So apparently, and this Tosis points out, even if the Rabbanan would hold against Rav Shimon Chazuri, that it's usher because we want you to have a shechita. They certainly did not say that you have to have a shechita of a non-treifa. In other words, everybody will see that you're taking a live animal and eating it without shechita. So they say, no, you have to have shechita. But they would not have said that you need the shechita that it should be on an animal that otherwise would be kosher. Because people don't know if it's a treifa or not a treifa. That's not going to be in the foresight. So to make that kind of problem, when it's otherwise, what would be the point, points out to us, of mentioning that a zeb attacked a gafka? He could have said that, you know, whatever the case was, they were arguing about whether it needed shechita. If you're telling me that a zeb attacked it, it's clear that you're bringing out that even though drusat zeb usually would make a treifa. That wasn't the issue over here. The issue was whether it needs shechita. So after it became what would have been a treifa, he comes to Rav Ashi and asks, is he able to shecht it? Is he able to eat it? So Rav Ashi said to him, go shecht it. So he said, wait a second. If it's kosher, even though it's a treifa, why do I have to shecht it? And so, in other words, Rav Shimon Chazuri said, even if it's 5 years old, I don't have to shecht it. So why do I say, why tell me I have to shecht it? Om Reziri, Om Rabbi Chanina, Loch Rav Shimon Chazuri. V'chinoi Rabbi Chazuri matir b'bno, ben b'no atzok shal adorot. I mean, Rabbi Shimon Chazuri held that it's so much not a chashash that even if you've got 10 generations later, a whole herd of animals that doesn't need shechita, it's not a problem. So why are you telling me I need to shecht it? And then, I mean, come on, I mean, even Rabbi Yochanan, Well, I skipped Rabbi Yochanan. I skipped the whole piece. I'm terrible. Omer Ziri. Sorry, let me just go back because I. Omer Ziri, Omer Rabbi Chanina. Halachic Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Pastelach Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Bechain Hai Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Matir Bibno Ben Ben Hatzov Kaladrolon. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri was Matir indeed generations later. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, now hold on a minute. The halacha may be like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Lagabi, the animal itself. Hum Mutar. But already, I mean, the next generation, people are going to lose track of what animal was born from the Ben Bekua. The son is certainly also Mid Rabbana. People don't know. Then we get into the Shaila, Adu Bar Chavu, Havili Ben Bekua, the Nafal Dubale, which was a first generation Ben Bekua, not a second generation, came to ask Ravashi whether he can eat it. He said, go shecht it. So he said, why do I have to shecht it? I thought, didn't Ziri quote Rav Chanina as prosecuting like Rav Shimon Shazuri? And furthermore, he said that Rav Shimon Shazuri was matir, even Bibno, and even Rav Yochanan, who argued, only argued about the Ben, I believe, Yulo. He never said you have to check the child, and this is the actual Ben Bekua itself, not the child of the Ben Bekua. Omar Lay, so he told him, Ravashi, excuse me, Rav Yochanan did not mean to paskin, my dear sir, like Rav Shimon Shazuri. He only meant to say that Rav Shimon Shazuri would have been made about Beno. But Lamaisa, he's not saying we should paskin that the animal itself is kosher without Shita. What? Amar Ravin Bar Chanina, Amar Ulam Rav Chanina, Halachic Rav Shimon Shazuri, V'lovod ala kol makom Shoshana Rav Shimon Shazuri, Halachic Lamaisa. I understand. I thought it's a klal that wherever we find Rav Shimon Shazuri in a Mishnah or a Brisa, we shouldn't really say Mishnah Tenu, because the Gemara says Beferish before we had a Menachos Beferish. It's not a So how do we say we don't pass like Rav Shimon Shazuri? So he said, well, you asked the wrong guy, because I hold not like that klal. I hold the Omer of Yochanan, Halacha to Rav Shimon Shazuri only in the case of Misukan. And Trumas Meiser Shem Demai. What are those cases? Misukan, it's non Rishana Yom Rima Yotzeh Kolav Amar Kitu Get Yishti Arein Elu Yikatu V'Yitnu. Normally, in order to give a get for someone, he has to tell you Beferush to write the get and deliver the get. If he only tells you to write the get, then you're not a shliach for giving the get. You're a shliach for writing a get. If you give the get, it's not a kosher get. But in a case where a person is about to be taken out and be executed, over there we assume that the reason he didn't say give the get is because he's a little bit tarud in other issues, but he wants his wife not to fall to evil, so he wants to divorce his wife before his death. So he certainly meant, I mean, what did he mean to write a get for what purpose? Obviously to give the get. Then it comes along now, Rav Shimon Shazuri, to add to this, that in later generations, they said, someone who's going on a sea voyage or on a caravan through the desert where he's frightened about not coming back. And he says, write a get. Obviously, he says, write a get for delivering. And Rav Shimon Shazuri said, by the way, you can take that even somebody who's misukan. He's sick. He's worried about his survival. Even though he didn't say deliver the get, he wasn't just planning, in case things get worse, I'll give the get. He meant to write the get and give it. There we pass on Rav Shimon Shazuri. And the other place where we pass on Rav Shimon Shazuri is by Trumas Maaser Shel Demai. Over there, it says in the Mishnah, Trumat Maaser Shel Demai, Shechazra Limkoma. In a case where you took off the Trumas Maaser from the Demai, so one hundredth. Correct? Echad Mimea Mimashideshka. So you have 1/100. Problem is that the shiur of being matir, truma that falls into chulin, you need to have slightly more than 1/100th. Well, aser, it's more than 1/100th, then it's mat. Comes but. So then theoretically, if the truma spitzer now falls back into the original prayeris, why, hey, you have dimua over here, and only a coin would be allowed to be, because you have truma spitzer in it. But in a case where it falls back in, the din is, according to Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, you can go back to the Am Haaretz that you brought it from, because it's only Demai. And you can ask the Am Haaretz, come on, tell me the truth. Did you take off Truma before? Because I got a real problem here. I took off Truma's Meiser. and fell back in. So there, the Yerushalmi says that the Amoritz is more makbid on truma once it's been called truma that falls back in. That he would never tell you it's kosher to eat. Than he is on not taking off the truma the first. On tevel, he's not makbid. But on truma, he's makbid. If the truma fell in, he'll tell you the truth. That's how I'm my own time. Because Tevel, he figures, okay, so we won't take off truma. But truma, he knows, only a coin, eats. He wouldn't touch it. I mean, why would he take the truma? So once it's truma, then already his mind starts working. It's not that he's a liar. He's a right. He rationalizes for himself. But on truma, they don't rationalize. There's no why. There's no rational explanation of why. Other than the fact that when you focus on something that you're used to being answered, that's the way it is. Look, why is it that people will not be Mechal Yom Kippur, but they'll be Mechal Shabbos? Because the Shabbos is worse than Mechal Yom Kippur. That's the way it is, you know. So, Memela, over there you could ask him, even Bechol. Normally, why does he even Bechol? Because if it happens on Shabbos, you could ask him even about the Demai directly. Machlokas in the Yerushalmi, what the reason is.
Shabbos.
It's going to lie on Shabbos. What are you crazy? So, I mean, of course, you can. Not in those days. In those days, Shabbos is Shabbos. Unbelievable, man. See what a yid was. An Amoret should lie on Shabbos. You got to be out of your mind. The other lesson is, now, we were makil because of kavod Shabbos. You need to eat the food, so we're makil because of kavod Shabbos. Okay, but here, af b'chol shalom, v'okol alpi. But other than that, no paskin like Rav Shimon Chazuri. Therefore, I have the unfortunate duty to tell you that you're going to have to shech this animal, Rav Ashi told him. And even though there's no problem of tarfus, although it would have been treif if it would have been alive, in this case, a strange situation. You can chef a treif animal and eat it. So we've had a number of very strange situations. You can chef an animal that was already chefed. That was the first situation that we had. In order to be mater, it's treifus. And a similar case is you can take an animal that is treif if it would have been a normal animal, but since over here you're chefed to the mother, it isn't really treif, but you have to chef it in order to avoid the appearance of a ribbonatai. Wild. Okay, so this is really good. Unfortunately, we don't talk to like the George Azuri.